upright, let us hear the holy gospel.
Peace be unto all.
And to thy spirit.
A reading from the holy gospel according to Saint Matthew.
Glory to thee, O Lord. Glory to thee.
Let us attend. At that time, Jesus got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on his bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, take up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they marveled, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men.
Spirit. Amen. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on his bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." It's interesting to note in this gospel that we just heard that it tells us that when Jesus saw their faith, many times when our Lord is healing, it is the person he is healing who he points out their faith. And says your things such as your faith has made you well. In this case, Jesus points to the faith of the people who brought the paralytic to him. And I think this speaks to the reality that within our faith, and truly within the entire world, there's a sense of interconnectedness between all of us. And sometimes we're very acutely aware of this, sometimes maybe we're not so much. It's foundational to our understanding of the whole world, this notion of human connection. One of my favorite quotes of St. Silouan, a monk of Mount Athos, "My brother is my life." And another quote to ponder, St. Anthony the Great once said, "Our life and our death is with our neighbor." So it's very significant for us to think about this, what it means that we are all connected through our common faith here in the church, but in truth, throughout the entire world, because of the fact that we know that each and every single one of us was created in the image and likeness of God. And there is that power that comes in our ability to intercede for others. We heard about this in the epistle today, where James writes, "The prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effects." Sometimes we may think to ourselves, do my prayers really matter? Are they really heard? Are they making a difference? Well, I'd like to take for just a second kind of a common thing that we can experience in our daily lives. We often hear this notion of random acts of kindness, right? And how often do we experience a random act of kindness perhaps done for us? Maybe something just as simple as someone holding the door for us, especially when we're at a bit of a distance and they really kind of wait a long time for us. Do you ever feel that pressure to start to jog a little bit? Like you feel like someone's like, oh, and they're like, no, it's okay. Or maybe we drop something and someone notices it and we haven't noticed it ourselves. And excuse me, sir, excuse me, ma'am, did you drop this? How does that make us feel when we experience these random acts of kindness, even though they're relatively simple things? Sometimes it can have a profound impact on us. Sometimes maybe we're just having the worst day and we're starting to maybe have those thoughts creep into our mind, just, gosh, is there just anyone good left in the world? And then sometimes that simple act that someone does for us can really turn our whole lives around. So how much more of an impact, even though we can't readily sometimes feel or experience it, can the prayer of someone have for us? And if we are aware of that and truly believe that in faith, then it becomes incumbent upon us to not just recognize that other people's prayers may be impacting our lives, but to recognize the significance of what our prayer may have on the lives of others. And again, we see this throughout Scripture and note it's important. And I again call back to those quotes, my brother is my life and our life and our death is with our neighbor. And yet sometimes that can become a challenging thing. Just like the lawyer in the Gospel of Luke seeking to justify himself who asked Jesus before our Lord recounts the parable of the Good Samaritan, who is my neighbor? We may find ourselves asking, who is my brother? Who is my sister? Or even worse, going back to the first murder recorded in Scripture when Cain killed his brother Abel, when Cain says to God, am I my brother's keeper? We must guard ourselves against this notion that we don't know who our brother and sister is. Or is it really up to us to be our brother or sister's keeper? Truly, it is. But sometimes these thoughts come into our minds because we are faced with things that make us uncomfortable. And when something makes us uncomfortable, we often react with offense or outrage. It's kind of the way of the world. It's heightened because of the internet and social media and all these sorts of things, but it's always existed. So sometimes we may feel it easier to just cut people off that challenge us or that we struggle with or that we perceive maybe don't fit in with our worldview or even our view of God and our relationship to God. But this is not really the faith. It is not really the faith to just ignore or cut off people that we disagree with or we don't get along with or hold a different view. God sets a very high bar for us. St. Paul says to hate what is evil, but never who is evil. Quite the opposite. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. This, of course, is in line with our Lord's words in Matthew chapter 5. Going back again, as I often do to the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. St. Nikon of Optina tells us, you must love every man, seeing in him the image of God, disregarding his vices. You must not dismiss people with coldness. That's the bar. That's the bar that allowed our Lord to be in anguish and pain and agony on the cross and to look out at those who were mocking him, those who had beaten him, those who had done these things to him, and say, in the moment of his greatest anguish, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. So that is our call. Can we answer that call? Goes back to this idea of interconnectedness. This gospel reading, we don't even know what relationship the people who brought the paralytic to Jesus had with them. It doesn't even tell us. Think for a moment. This is a hypothetical thing to help me with the point I'm trying to make. But think for a minute if they really didn't have a relationship with this man. Maybe he wasn't a good friend. Maybe he wasn't of their family. Maybe he wasn't of their kind. Maybe he didn't have the same worldview that they did. In that way, it sort of harkens to that parable of the Good Samaritan. Sometimes I think we can undersell the significance of that story if we don't take the time, and again, this is something I know I've preached about often, but it's because I think it's important. If we don't take the time to recognize how significant to the audience it would have been to hear Jesus illustrate what makes a neighbor by showing a Samaritan doing kindness, going out of his way to show kindness and care to someone who is Jewish. It was unheard of. And so we have to challenge ourselves through the prism of that parable to think, who would that person be for me? Who would that person be for me who it would be unheard of for me? Forget even doing what the Samaritan did in the parable. Just doing a random act of kindness. And once we recognize who those people are in our lives, the first and most important thing we can do is to pray for them. The prayer of a righteous man or woman has great power in its effect. Today we commemorate Elijah, and we heard again in the epistle about how he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it didn't rain on the earth, and then he prayed again and the heavens gave rain. Now, we're not praying for such things, but it speaks to this idea of how fervent true faith and fervent true prayer, it can't just be lip service, it can't be something we go through the motions with. We have to genuinely mean what we are praying for, and it can have that effect. If we are to bring people to Christ in faith with hope and love, that we may all be united in Him and with Him, it has to start with being able to pray for and loving our enemies, loving those who bring us discomfort. Our Lord tells us it is easy to do good to those who do good to us. But what benefit is that to us? So, brothers and sisters, let us see in this example of this parable that interconnectedness that we all share together, and let us truly live it. When the scribes and Pharisees in the parable today are questioning and calling the Lord a blasphemer, they didn't even have to say it out loud. Our Lord, it says, knowing what was in their hearts. Believe me, our Lord knows what is in our very hearts as well. Is it love? Is it a fervent commitment to being righteous? Is it a desire to see good things come to people? Is it forgiveness for those who we struggle with? Or is it hard-heartedness? Is it dismissal? Is it those people aren't like me? They don't believe like I believe, so they are unworthy of my time, attention, or prayer? Our Lord knows. So let us look deeply into our hearts, see what is there, and be able to have the strength and courage to recognize that each and every person we encounter, just like us, was created in the image and likeness of God. And just as they may rely on the strength of our prayers, we may not know that they may already be praying for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory be to Jesus Christ. Amen.